As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Far side, and nice play made there by goaltender Hutchinson, but the Leafs fail to clear it. Here's Carlson with it again. Into the corner now for Backstrom. Back comes to Carlson, and Davey scores.
You know what? Gord Stellick is cringing just listening to that clip from the dulcet tones of Joe Bowen on the Leafs radio network. Three goals in a 1:19 span in the second period was the difference. Capitals take down the Maple Leafs 4-3, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. It's Leafs Nation postgame here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you. Plenty over the next hour or so. Chris Johnston at Capital One Arena. The full breakdown we'll hear from Mike Babcock. But, Gordo, you've been rearing to go for quite some time, so I'm going to give you the floor here.
Yes, I can't wait to get my chops at Chris Johnston. He is there. He's with the troops.
Birthday
He's embedded.
Boy.
We'll wish him a happy birthday. And got to give John Carlson all kinds of credit. He's the leading scorer in the National Hockey League right now, and they got ripped off a goal because the Capitals should have had five. So the point being is, and we will extol the virtues, there were so many positives in this game, especially when the Leafs were up 2-0. What a great road game against the kind of team you want them to have strong efforts. And there's things, there's some penalties they took and some struggles getting the puck out. But the backup goaltending woes that were there with Jonas Enroth, that disappeared with Curtis McElhinney, that returned last year with Garrett Sparks, reared the ugliest of heads tonight with Michael Hutchinson. And I've just not been big on this guy last year, even though his stats weren't that bad. I went back, looked at his stats. They weren't that bad. It's the word deportment. I've never liked his deportment. He seems to struggle with the pucks in general. And he did that tonight. And it's, I'm just saying, Nick, I'm not going to pile on him that way. It's a terrible feeling when you're playing on a team and you have substandard goaltending. And, that's what happened tonight. The guy on the other side, Ilya Samsonov, was no hell either.
No.
I mean, it was so, again, we'll talk about a third period where the Leafs really picked it up and did their best and came within one goal. And really, Hutchinson had, no chances then. I would not be surprised if this is his last game in goal for the Toronto Maple Leafs. He's not good enough. And you have to address that situation sooner rather than later, as far as I'm concerned.
Gord, to me, it's like having a catcher who can't catch the ball. And watching this game, it was quite evident again. And how many Leaf netminders in the last couple of years have we seen can't make a quality catch with their glove hand? It's pretty crazy, if you ask me.
Well, and again, you're absolutely right. And the point being is we in Leaf Nation and Leaf fans in general, there was a great run in the Pat Quinn era for a while. And you had 4 years of Curtis Joseph and 2 years of Ed Belfour. What a great six-year run.
Spoiled.
With the goaltending. Absolutely. And then Vesa Toskala, Andrew Raycroft, who actually had one decent season. People forget that. James Reimer, Jonathan Bernier. And James Reimer was by default all the time. He was the fallback guy. Tuukka Rask gets traded. Justin Pogge, whom they drafted and thought was the heir apparent, wasn't. They haven't developed no goaltenders. So Freddie Anderson's the guy they have to go get as a starter. Michael Hutchinson is a guy who they traded as a backup. And so it goes. So the saga goes. And hopefully they have one or two they're developing. They seem to be in the organization right now. But, boy, you're talking load management. And with the Toronto Raptors, Kawhi Leonard missed, 20 games? I mean, he had a significant injury, so there was a lot of reason to it. But I'm telling you right now, Mike Babcock would think load management right now that Freddie Anderson should play 80 games. holy mackerel. He cost him the game tonight. The backup goaltender cost the game tonight. Now, we can debate, and some people have said this social media-wise, you've said it, why not let Hutchinson play the, quote, easier game last night at home against Minnesota rather than this tougher game? And I think there's some validity to that, but, it's the way Mike Babcock does it. Freddie gets the first game, and the backup goaltender gets the second game.
Lucky for you, you get to watch another former Maple Leaf netminder on Saturday. The Boston Bruins and Tuukka Rask. Remember, you just mentioned Justin Pogge. They traded the wrong guy, unfortunately speaking. That's Gord Stellick. I'm Nick Alberga. Leafs Nation postgame continues here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, a 4-3 loss for the Maple Leafs. A really, really strong first period, especially for a team on the back-to-back. You beat Minnesota on Tuesday night on home ice. And the backbreaker to me, Gord, actually happened late in the first period. The Vrana goal made it 2-1. And I think the Leafs had to be so happy with the way they played in the first 19 or so minutes of the first period. And that started the free fall for me in this hockey game.
Well, I'll tell you, here is the game sheets right now.
Yeah.
Okay. And there's a lot of good stuff to talk about, but okay.
I like that.
That's what the goaltending did. That's what the inferior goaltending did. I'm going to put this back together. Okay. Anyway.
Can we get another one, show?
But here's the thing. Back to back, they get a 2-0 lead. Kasperi Kapanen, you've been looking to get going. He has a great period. Nice goal, shorthanded goal. The whole thing, they really controlled. Like, Michael Hutchinson had no tough saves to make. And then at the end of the period, got caught on an odd man rush, and Varana gets that dreaded late goal, which we know those dreaded late goals can be killers. And I'll tell you, he buried it. Really, there was no chance, but I still didn't like the way he slid over in the sense. You know, like I said, Hutchinson had no chance. So a minute, one left. And okay, it's taken the Toronto from having a game in their control. And then the second period, a lot of things fell apart. And you know what? You could really use one big save.
Yeah.
Like, goaltenders, it's not they're expected just to stop the ones they're supposed to stop. You got to make one or two that you're not supposed to stop. That's the reality of being goaltenders in the modern day NHL. But he didn't even stop the ones that he should stop.
And for those loving the sound effects, Gord's already regretting ripping that sheet of paper because now he can't look at his box score. But I believe show is coming with a new one. I think you're totally right in bringing that up. And, you know, watching this game, I was in agreement. It was just a tough, tough night for Michael Hutchinson.
Here, show, give me that one here. Hold
there
on.
You go.
There we go again. Yeah, it's it.
All just that hard work from Shoal, I know. Our great
I'll
producer,
put it all together here. Okay.
And Stelic's just losing his mind about the backup goalie. It is Toronto, but it's fair to bring up. And you have to feel for Hutchinson. In our opinions, we've been saying it all season long. He's not an NHL goalie. I don't know where they find a backup goalie, but they got to find somebody who can make a save at this point in time, Gordon.
Yeah, they do. And I thought that Casey DeSmith, for example, was a guy. He's under a very reasonable contract, and he's played, I thought, decent enough in the Pittsburgh Penguin organization. And, you know, then you could probably argue, well, why would the Penguins send him down to the American Hockey League? You know, which is
it was
a good...
Tristan Jarry. He had to go through waivers. That's
yeah,
why they
so
did it.
Yeah. I know, but they picked Jarry over Casey DeSmith. So you're sort of saying, okay, is if Tristan Jarry's better than
younger.
But you know what? They keep developing those guys there, Matt Murray and that. Pittsburgh's really developed young goaltenders that way. So I would have had no problem with Casey DeSmith. And I know there are a few other names that were out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's funny. Louis Domingue is one.
He's a similar guy because you look at the body of work last year for Louis Domingue and say, wow, this guy's incredible. He's not good.
No, he's not a guy I would have gone after. And that's why Tampa Bay, even though he played, you know, a great record, they said we had to upgrade our backup goaltending. And I, you know, Nick, I'll talk to people a lot and we'll chat about it and go, boy, oh boy, we talk too much about the backup goaltender. We talk too much about the 6th and 7th and 8th defenseman. We talk too much about the 11th, 12th, 13th, 14th forwards, you know, because those are the lineup decisions to be made. But in this case, that's the talk of the game tonight. And there's so many, there's so many other positives that were there early on when they got the 2-0 lead. And then at the last period when they did everything but tie it up.
By the way, Casey DeSmith is having a rough start to his American Hockey League season, but don't read too much into that. A 4 GAA, an 871 save percentage. His numbers last year, pretty decent sample size. And if you do remember, Matt Murray got banged up last year. So DeSmith played 36 games, 2.75, a 916 save percentage, which is above league norms, by the way.
But I got to tell you something. Michael Hutchinson's was around that, too, in 5 games.
I
looked at it, but I just, again, I use the word deportment about looking like a goaltender. And I feel bad for the guy. I'm not going to pile on, but he was the difference.
Well, I mean,
tonight.
He's in the NHL, so you can't feel that bad. But
yeah, I do feel bad, but I'm saying there's no point in me beating it to death more and more and more because this was the factor in tonight's game about what went on. And then after, okay, like some bet, like Washington had not scored on a power play at home. And the Leafs had scored a shorthanded goal tonight and were killing off the penalty great. And then they ran into trouble. And, okay, let's go. Like Martin Rinson, not kidding, you know, again. But that's being picky. I question his NHL abilities. But anyway, on a particular play, he screwed up twice, couldn't get it out.
No.
And there's a series of events that led to the goal, led to a penalty, then the unfortunate luck of whacking the puck out, delay of game whack. So Washington has a two-man advantage for a minute 51. And they score on that. And that's their first power play goal. They scored at home. It's a Washington Capitol team that has been vanilla, been so-so this season so far.
Well, the problem is the Maple Leafs gave them life. And again, if you're just tuning in, Toronto dropping a 4-3 game on the road in Washington at Capital One Arena. And that was after Toronto had a 2-0 lead in the first period. Jacob Vrana scores late, and then they go on to score 3 goals in a minute 19 in the second period. By far, that 5-6 minute span in the second period, the difference in this game. Gord, even look late in this hockey game. So John Tavares scores on just a heinous giveaway by Alex Ovechkin. Credit to Jake Muzzin.
Good
he
word.
Steps up at the bloodline.
Heinous, I like it.
It's a perfect word for,
yes,
for how
is.
Bad that play was. It was Ovechkin gunning for a goal, quite frankly.
Yes, selfish.
Exactly. Muzzin steps up, passes it to Tavares. He puts it away. But after that, we saw the 6-on-5, and I was screaming at the TV because number 34 wasn't on the ice. That said, they did have the pressure in the offensive zone, but at that point, do you think somebody has to be headstrong enough to be like, you know what, I should probably get off in favor of the number 34 has got 7 goals on this season already?
Yeah, I thought Kerfoot should have.
Yeah.
And so you're right. Here's the dilemma. It's that you are absolutely dominating in the Washington Capitals' end. So would it be the last 2 minutes or so? They basically kept the pressure sustained that way. So, and good on the Capital D, because there's, you know, it's 6-on-4. The goaltender's pulled. So the four Capital players should have been exhausted. And I thought the Leafs were creating a lot of chances and they were getting block shots in the first minute of it. Then the last minute, it reminded me of the old Harlem Globetrotter, Sweet Georgia Brown. Like, it was fancy razzmatazz, but they weren't getting anything at the net. And who can fire it better than Austin Matthews? And he doesn't get on until 10 seconds. And again, we're being picky because you're sort of saying, well, they had the puck in the offensive zone. It was an inordinate length of time for the shift. It also meant the Washington Capitals should be totally gassed, the players that were out there. But it really didn't prove to be that way. I mean, good on Washington.
Yeah, but the tough thing for me, Gordo, and I understand that, but again, a theme for me in this hockey game was Austin Matthews was dancing. Again, one of their better players. And I can't say the same about 91. I can't say the same about 16. I thought Marner and Tavares, for the most part, struggled again in this hockey game.
Yeah, we'll talk more about it, but 34's got to be the guy that you get on at the end of the game.
All right, with that in mind, we'll hit the break. Much more to come here on Leafs Nation postgame. It's Nick Elberga and Gord Stellick. And again, the final, 4-3 the final for the Washington Capitals, just on top of the Toronto Maple Leafs, who fall to 4-3-1 on this season. Brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
All right, the up and down start to the season continues for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Capitals 4, Maple Leafs 3, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Leafs Nation postgame continues here on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, it's Nick Elberga and Gord Stellick with you. Posing this question, let's get social, Gord.
Okay.
Has Michael Hutchinson played his last game as a Maple Leaf? You can tweet us your thoughts at the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick, because he always checks his Twitter, and at 590 on Twitter. Full follow-up from Capital One Arena as well coming your way. Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, Sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada. But certainly one of the themes in this one's been a theme with this team the last couple of years, Gord, is the backup goalie position.
Yeah, and it couldn't be a worse thing to rear its ugly head two starts into the season. This is what happened with Garrett Sparks. This is with Jonas Enroth. It just never got going. And we're not talking about this isn't like the Toronto Blue Jays having 40 different pitchers, okay, when you're rebuilding. This is real. Now, by the way, two things. One is point taken about Casey DeSmith's been terrible right now in the American Hockey League. So understood, but it just meant those were the kind of options they could have looked at about guys on waivers but chose not to. But our buddy Todd Alushko called, and first of all, he said, like, man, this guy that's replaced me is brutal. And I said, no, we got rid of Mark Savard. He's already gone. The new guy, Nick Elberga, is really, really good. He goes, oh, yeah, he's really, really
good. I'm a big Todd Alushko guy.
But,
hi, Todd.
He's his team won last year in Mannheim, the whole thing. So kicking butt that way. Anyway, he's Kasper Kaskasio, which is going to be a tough one to pronounce. But
yeah,
that playing well with the Toronto Marlies. He's among those that verifies it. And I've always liked Justin Wall. Met him at the Austin Matthews draft. Just a really good kid from the St. Louis area, and then played for Boston College. You know, so, I mean, he's not one you're looking at now, but we're talking about their lack of developing goaltenders. He seems to be one on a path, given his NCAA career and so far, that will be developed. But Todd, among others, thinks Kaskasio would be a guy, based on his AHL play, that would be worth a look as the backup goaltender for the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Well, Todd, if you're listening to the show, I think we are still actively looking for an analyst, so you never know what could happen.
Well, yeah, okay. I'd like to be into that meeting.
I'm kidding. I love working with Gord Stellick. He's an absolute gem. I think you're right. You're right in bringing up that name. Another key to bring up when this Maple Leafs team, and you talk about their roster allotment the next couple of years, Gord, is the cap situation. And we'll always talk about this, but when you're paying Marner, Tavares, Matthews, Nylander, Riley, the list goes on and on. You have to have a cheap option in there. And it told me a lot in the offseason when they brought Michael Neuwirth in on a PTO. We know what happened there. He played like 7 seconds with them. Then Babs, you know, we know the story by now, but there's a reason. And that's, you know, that tipped the hand for me when it comes to Toronto's backup goalie situation. They try to get a guy who had barely played the last couple of years.
Yeah, and for some people, they don't just remember, like Michael Neuwirth came in. Then there was this weird thing that all of a sudden he wasn't there. Then he emerged and he was healthy and he's going to play. And he had the weird press conference that he claimed growing up in the Czech Republic, he loved the Toronto Maple Leafs, right? It was, and we thought, is he yanking everyone's chain or what exactly? Went out, played, didn't play very well. Next time he's supposed to back up, hurt again. And Mike Babcock just said, okay, he's broke. Well, okay, he hasn't played in a year and he's got hurt again after 2-3 days. And so this ain't going
to
happen.
He said he didn't feel up to the task of going to Montreal for the preseason game.
Yeah.
Like the wording was bizarre.
Well, I take it he said he was hurt, but whatever. But you're right. It did not sit well with Mike Babcock. But the point you mentioned is, yeah, they were bringing in Michael Neuwirth as some guy with NHL experience to look up in a backup role. So so where else can you go? You look so you start the season with Michael Hutchinson.
Can we find Kari Lehtinen somewhere?
Yeah, I just. But the other part is we're talking about, was Freddie Anderson as well. 2 years left at $5 million. Like, Leafs are real fortunate because you talked about all money they've had to put in Marner, Matthews, Tavares, and Nylander. So it's not till 2 years down the road they have to deal with Freddie Anderson, and then 3 years down the road they've got to deal with Morgan Rielly. So we know this year they'll have a jam up on D with Muzzin, Barry, and Cody Ceci. But, you know, that's something that Kyle Dubas can patch year to year to year. They don't have that big contract that you got to sign like the four they just did in the case for 2 years down the road with Freddie and 3 years with Morgan Rielly.
That's a good point to bring up because they're not going to be that fortunate in a couple years from now when some of these contracts are starting to kick in and all that jazz. And it comes to Frederick Anderson. His importance to this team is unbelievable. That's Gord Stelick. I'm Nick Alberga. Leafs Nation postgame continues. Toronto now 4-3-1 on the season. Next date, Saturday night against the dreaded rival, the Boston Bruins, the Game 7 team. We know the story by now. That's at Scotiabank Arena. But again, fallout continues from Capital One Arena. I'm curious to hear the remarks right now, Gord, of one Mike Babcock.
Successive penalties to take maybe your club out of some rhythm here on the road.
Well, obviously some guys are freezing and some guys are getting killed. I thought tonight, like you said, we started good. I thought we were set up good. I thought we were playing well. We had a couple of sort of problems at the start of the second period. We took penalties. You know, we knocked one over the glass and, you know, then we spend the rest of the night chasing the game. I thought we tried to crawl our way back into the game. I overplayed guys in the third. I mean, you're chasing the game and in the end we didn't have enough to get it done. So it's disappointing because we thought we were set up pretty good, but the bottom line is we've got to find a way to play better in these back-to-backs.
How do you evaluate the goaltending performance when you have the breakdowns you did?
I haven't had a chance, Johnny, to go through the whole thing. You know, we'll look at it close on the flight. The bottom line is we got to do a better job of keeping it out of our net. A couple of the sort-outs in our own D zone weren't good enough. It's one thing if they've made a play that's unbelievable, but if you're not standing next to your guy, that's on you. I thought we had done a real good job tonight on the penalty kill. To tell you the truth, I thought our penalty kill was really good, and we gave up the 1-5-on-3. So it's not good enough. You got to find a way each and every night, and you need different people to do it each and every night. And you can't give up as many goals on the back-to-back. That's 10 goals on two games back-to-back. Can't do it.
How do you feel fared when he moved up with
Johnny? Well, I mean, obviously, we're trying to get that line to go, right? And moving guys around all the time, I don't know how great that is either. But I thought he had great legs and was flying. That line, the Kerfoot line, was never getting on the ice together because those two guys were penalty killing. And then I'd come back and I'd get Matthews and Tavares going after the penalty kill. So I just figured this was a better opportunity to get him more ice time.
Talk about Cappy's game early on.
Well, I thought Cappy was good. I thought that line was great. They just never got to play because of the special teams. But I thought Cappy skated real good. Obviously, the penalty kill goal was important for us. Kind of got momentum, got us rolling after that. You know, he's been good and, positive for us.
Do
the opportunity to get back at it after a day off in Boston coming. You welcome that opportunity?
Yeah, it'll be fun for us. Obviously, you know, what's interesting is league, doesn't matter who you play every night, as you can see, there's nothing to pick between the teams. And night after night, you're in a real grind. Obviously, we have a history with Boston. They've eliminated us from the playoffs 2 years in a row. That'll be fun. Getting the day off tomorrow is important for our group, too, but we got to get back at it. We think there's a whole nother level for our group, and we got to keep getting better.
How challenging is that four back-to-backs in October?
Yeah, well, if you just do the math in the league, you got someone who can do that. You can figure out the winning percentage. It's 29%. You know, so it's real, but it's not as big as it is. It's a bigger deal at the start than it is later, if that makes any sense, when you get used to it and you get more rhythm in your game. But, you know, we can't worry about the schedule. We got to worry about the game we're playing, and we got to play right. See you guys. Trouble safe.
All right.
Well. A little quicker postgame from Mike Babcock, who had been expanded versions the last few post games.
It's like talking a mile a minute.
Yeah.
He seemed agitated, did he not?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Does he really mean safe travel? I think he does. I don't know. No, it's just like...
Not at all. All right, let's go now to Capital One Arena. Again, a 4-3 win for the Capitals against your Maple Leafs. Now 4-3-1 on the season. 3 goals and 1:19 in the second period. The difference, it's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick with you on Leafs Nation postgame. We bring in Sportsnet.ca, Sportsnet at Hockey Night in Canada. It's Chris Johnson. Why don't you lead to our poll question here, Chris? Is that the last time we see Michael Hutchinson in between the pipes for the Maple Leafs, in your opinion?
No chance. Man, you guys are getting early on this. I mean, I would say at minimum he's got two more starts, the last two this month. And let's face it, probably longer than that. I mean, the Leafs have serious cap constraints. It's not going to be a matter of just being able to bring in any old goalie by a trade. You know, it would have to be a money in, money out for opposition. You know, I don't know if what the pulse of Leafs Nation is right now, but there's no chance this guy's done after just two starts.
Okay, so if I have tickets to a Leaf home game and I find out Michael Hutchinson is starting, will you buy my tickets off me?
If you give them to me at half price, I'd be happy to think about it, Gord.
Well, you know, like I said, it's like the Toronto Blue Jays pitchers, you know, when you got, anyway, I don't think the guy can play. The guy has trouble handling, like Carlson got ripped off a goal. The guy has trouble handling the puck all the time, the rebounds, the whole thing. I've never liked his deportment. The fact they brought Michael Neuvirth in this year showed they were a little bit desperate for a backup. I would try one of the Marty guys.
The problem is I don't know there's a lot of faith there. I mean, Joseph Woll is just beginning his pro career. I don't think you're throwing him to the wolves at this stage. And Kazimierz Kaskisuo has bounced around a fair bit, but I don't get the sense the organization is, you know, views him as an NHL option. I mean, I guess... injury or something could necessitate it. Maybe if this goes really off the rails, they'll try it. But, you know, where this is it's a familiar theme, I guess. Going back to Jonas Enroth a few years ago, getting run out of town after just 6 appearances. You know, I do think Michael Hutchinson's under the microscope. But, you know, if you look at those goals tonight, let's face it, they're all high danger chances. Now, with your goaltender, you want him to stop some of the tough shots, not just the easy ones. So it's not to say that There's an excuse for each of them to go in. But, you know, Brana wide open on that one-timer, Kuznetsov on a partial breakaway. You've got Backstrom from the bottom of the circle, you know, free to get a clear shot at the net. And then obviously Carlson on the one-timer on the 5-on-3 power play. I mean, that was a tough spot behind the entire team for the backup. But unfortunately, it does feel as though the search continues for the Leafs in terms of getting someone in there that can do the job that Curtis McElhinney did for a year and a half for this team as a backup.
Let's get to a positive, however. Ilya Mikheyev, they've hit the jackpot with this guy, haven't they?
Well, I guess because he's a lottery ticket, they've definitely they found a player. You know, I don't want to get too carried away just yet because, you know, a lot of things can happen. But, I mean, the fact that he's immediately being put in there, you know, even saw some time on the Tavares Marner wing tonight, you know, is a penalty killer, is led the team in 5-on-5 points this season. I mean, that's a tremendous start. And, you know, I think it's fair to expect him to get better, no matter what we saw from the first 8, 9, 10 games from a player coming over from Russia. You know, I would expect that, you know, that at some point in the next 72 games, you're going to see a higher level from him just as he gets more comfortable in his surroundings and with his spot in the league and all those things. But, you know, he's really off to a nice start. I think the fact that he skates so well, really good hockey sense, That helps him, you know, maybe get around some of the inexperience he has on the North American ice and with the players over here and the structure and even to some degree the language in terms of instruction from the coaches. But, I think that he's someone that the Leafs should feel good about. And, you know, obviously in the last couple of seasons, they brought in a number of European free agents. Some have made an impact, some have made no impact and sort of come and gone almost as though they weren't here. But, you know, with him, it really looks like they found a legit player. And soon we're going to go from being excited about this guy to saying, how do they sign him? Because he is just on a one-year entry-level deal.
And, you know, to get back to positives, I guess, because Barry Kapanen as well, because he's just the guy that couldn't quite fit in that line. Like I said, like I'm really frustrated about the goaltending because I thought it was a great road game and they were up 2-0 and there were so many positives we're kind of forgetting about. But I thought that was another good one with Barry Kapanen, who was kind of looking for a game like that.
Yeah, it's amazing how a change can sometimes spark guys. You know, I don't even know that it's anything always just about the specific mix of players, but you know, maybe a fresh outlook on things. I mean, Kasperi Kapanen, you know, one observation I have on him getting to know him the last few years is that he's very, very hard on himself. I mean, more openly does he wear his disappointment when things don't go well than most professional athletes, you know, that you encounter in the NHL. And I think, you know, when it didn't start off gangbusters with Marner and Tavares, I mean, obviously he knows how big of an opportunity is, what a great spot that is to start. But, you know, it just never felt like a good fit, even from the early days of training camp. And, you know, that carried into the regular season. Those players didn't get much going at 5-on-5. Obviously, he didn't produce either. And so, you know, I think putting him where he's intended to be when Zach Hyman is healthy beside Alex Kerfoot, another, you know, super fleet-footed skater, makes a lot of sense. I think that they're going to give the opponents that they face some real trouble. And, you know, it just seems like a better fit and maybe, you know, received a little bit of a warning, I guess, or it was a little bit of a wake-up call to be switched out of that line last night and perform great tonight. So, you know, I think that's an excellent sign for the Leafs. A shorthanded goal is always a bonus, too. And, you know, there were a lot of good things in tonight's game. It was, you know, a 12-minute stretch where it got away from them. The penalties piled up. They got the CT delay game call to go down two men. You know, a couple pucks go through Hutchinson, and it's just not enough for them to be able to get back and find a way to get a point or two.
Yeah, and I think sometimes we do forget in this market we're only 10 games, not even 10 games into this season. I got to ask you about the Marner line, and you're around this team seemingly 24/7. You do a great job. What's missing in the game of John Tavares and Mitch Marner right now that we've seen from last year where they were outstanding and one of the best, you know, duos in the league?
You know, I don't have a good answer for that. I don't have a plausible explanation for how they went from, you know, among the absolute most dominant 5-on-5 players in the NHL last year, you know, almost from the beginning. Remember that they got put together. That was part of the sales pitch to John Tavares, and he'd get a chance to play with Marner, and they clicked right away. I believe Tavares had 6 goals in his first 5 games as a Maple Leaf last season. You know, those two together really didn't have much of a drought at all during the year. I mean, obviously there's ups and downs for every player, but you know, they just were dynamite at 5-on-5. And for whatever reason, it hasn't carried over yet this season. You know, I still don't get the feeling there's a lot of panic in the team environment about that. You know, I think that there's a lot of belief that, you know, when Hyman comes back, that they'll sort of be able to relive some of the magic. But it's been clear. Look, they're putting up points. They're not terrible players by any stretch. I mean, let's not take it too far the other way. But at 5-on-5, they have not been as difficult to handle for opponents as they were a year ago. And you know, that's an important thing for them to change, because I think, you know, the Leafs as their most dangerous. The Leafs as a true cup contender revolve around having Marner, Tavares, you know, being unstoppable, and then having Matthews and Nylander doing what they're doing to start this year and really becoming a matchup nightmare for other teams. And we haven't seen them at that sort of optimal state yet, but you know, it is eight games into an 82 game season. So you know, there's a lot of time for that to change.
Okay. Don't want to go too far the other way, as you say. And we know game number 83 is when it's going to really count this year. They played 8 games. The 3 best teams they haven't beat: St. Louis, Tampa Bay, and tonight Washington. So they haven't beat a great team. Tampa Bay made mincemeat of their D the last half of the game. They've had two breakdowns against Montreal and now tonight against Washington. So what should or shouldn't you not be concerned about those particular elements after 8 games? I'm unimpressed about that part.
I mean, concern is a relative thing. I mean, I realize a lot of fans are living and dying with every game, and so obviously concern is around the corner every night. You know, my man Steve Dangle seems to be constantly on a ledge somewhere in Oshawa. So, you know, like I do appreciate it. I'm not trying to tell fans how to feel, but I think in general, yeah, you should. It's fair to note, look, defensively, they've not been stout. You know, there's too many goals against on this team. Some of that has been on goaltending, you know, because even Freddie, I thought, had a couple tough outings for in that Tampa game in particular. Obviously, Michael Hutchinson's now been in net for 9 goals against in the 2 games that he's played. So there's some improvement to be had there. But, you know, I also think that it's easy to look past some of the good things. I mean, the Leafs have been, you know, a really strong puck possession team overall. That's something that they were built with that in mind. The individual players, well, not great individually in every game, are putting up a fair number of points. And, you know, if you sort of suspend the emotion of the moment and imagine a time where they get a little bit tighter defensively, where they get some better goaltending, and if the offensive players continue to produce, I mean, this is a really good hockey team. But it's their job to get there. You know, just because you have it on paper doesn't mean it's going to exist or it's guaranteed or it's promised to you. And so I think that's really the job for the Leafs. And it's probably a good thing, A, that they get tomorrow off, because they've had kind of a strange schedule to start the year, but that the next game is against Boston, because the Bruins, to me, look just as good as any of the teams you just mentioned. You know, certainly a team that can win the Stanley Cup this year. And given the history there with Toronto, I think that should be a game. There's no excuse for Leafs not to be dialed in on the details and getting up for when they play them on Saturday.
All right, CJ, happy 25th birthday, my man. Enjoy it, okay?
25 again. It's a beautiful thing. Getting to be a hockey reporter, you can be Peter Pan. I'm aging like Peter Pan, boys.
Thanks so much. Well, enjoy
happy
it.
Birthday.
Thank you.
There you have it. Chris Johnson of Sportsnet, sportsnet.ca, and Hockey Night in Canada.
Did you buy him a card? Just I'll sign my name on it.
No, I wrote on his Facebook wall.
Okay.
And that constitutes as a lot in this day and age. You have Facebook, right?
I do not do Facebook, no.
That was a joke.
Okay.
You're not big into the social stuff.
I'm big in the social
you
stuff.
You retweeted me one time, actually. I enjoyed that.
That was a mistake. That was accidental. Yeah.
Blame it on the family dog. So,
that was it. I didn't know. I thought I was deleting you.
Oh,
and
wow.
I accidentally retweeted. Oh. No, I do. I'm on Twitter, at Gord Stelic. And my brother, Bob, gives me interesting Facebook things from people we went to school with. I will get on it. Some.
You're caught up.
That'll be my project. I'll get on it. But, you know, like, it's a little nauseating, people with the pictures, too. Holy crap. Like, I really don't want to know that much about you and your trip and what your kids are doing, you know?
Well, sorry to tell you.
You not agree with that?
You're on TV and the radio, so people know everything about you.
I mean so much. Anyway, I will get on it. I respect and appreciate social media, to be clear.
I wonder if Mike Babcock has a hidden account on social media. Probably not. That said, the Maple Leafs dropping a 4-3 game here in Washington at Capital One Arena. Now 4-3-1 on the early season. Next stop, couple days off, as Chris mentioned, team off tomorrow. Back on home ice on Saturday against the rival Boston Bruins. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stelic, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Breaking down what's up.
What's up?
This is Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan and the Leafs Radio Network.
Sad times for the Maple Leafs on this Wednesday night, the back-to-back. It fell short in Washington, 4-3 the final against the Capitals, of course, winning the Stanley Cup a couple years back. And just Toronto in general has not played well in terms of trying to win against the Washington Capitals in the last couple years. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stelic with you, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Leafs Nation postgame continues here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We'll get to the postgame in a couple moments, but surely a night the Leafs would want to have back because of the start of this hockey game. They're up 2-0. Jacob Vrana scores late in the first period, Gord. And then in the second period, the Capitals took over in a small little 119 frame, scoring 3 goals. And it certainly was not helped by the Leafs netminder in this one.
Yeah. And we had a good, healthy discussion with Chris Johnson, which is great. And one thing about Chris is, he tells it like it is, but he's also around the players. So I think he's got a little bit more empathy and a little bit more, you know, less of the Chicken Little complex that we may have, or some of our listeners may have, but I will just say flat out, I would not play Michael Hutchinson again. I would bring up an option with the Toronto Marlies. That's my opinion. I think it's yours, right?
Our poll. At the Golden Muzzy, at Gord Stellick, at Fan 590, as Michael Hutchinson played his last game as a member of the Toronto Maple Leafs. And I don't think we're being unrealistic at all. You can text 590, 590 as well. Luke from Wellington writes in, Hutch has played his last game as a Leaf. Gordon Nett, we will try.
Oh, well, then you're really in trouble. But I'm just saying Kasper Kaskasiyo has played half decent for the Marlies.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's what, you know, you see, can he be like the map? We're talking a backup, okay?
Yes.
Like, I've been there decades ago when you didn't have a starter, okay? And you had to get someone and I'm not going to go back decades ago, but there are certain guys to stop the bleeding. James Reimer, to me, more modern day, stop the bleeding. So anyway, you got Freddie Anderson. I like Freddie, and I agree. And that's one thing Chris said. Freddie actually hasn't had a great body of work either. So, okay, so that's one thing. So the other part, though, Nick, look at it. That's why this game, and of course, Saturday's game, we have it, which is great on Sportsnet 590, the Fan. We have Monday's home game against Columbus. Guys, I want to see something this Saturday. The three good teams you've played, Washington, St. Louis, which was a hell of a game, and Tampa Bay, you've lost, okay? You've lost to them. So I know it's game number 83 in that, but there's got to be some consistency and ebbs and flows and some setting the table for the playoffs. This is the team that eliminated you in seven games on Saturday. So I hope we have a statement, big game, big effort from the goaltending and everyone out, and home ice too on Saturday against the Boston Bruins in game number 9 this year.
I think you want to set a tone for this season in general when it comes to the Boston Bruins that, hey, we're not doing this again. We're not losing in Game 7. We're not losing at the TD Garden again in Game 7 as well. I think you're totally right. Like, I everything you just mentioned, the fact it's early in this season, we haven't even hit double digits, but the Leafs have a lot to prove on Saturday, don't they?
Yeah, well, I'll keep it in context. Yeah. But I mean, there's certain games over an 82-game season that matter. And I've said to you before that when I work with a team that was way out of the playoffs, it still mattered when you played Montreal. And back then, Edmonton, whoever, was a great team, so you got up for those games. So there still were a few that were a little different than the other 82 on the schedule. And it's the same thing for the Toronto Maple Leafs and that. So, and then the other part I found interesting was this back-to-back games that, you know, Babcock said, geez, I guess it's 29%, the second game for a team that's back-to-back and a team that's rested. I'll double check that stat. I'll take him at his word. But he also said I was a little puzzled that he said they're worse at the start of the year. They're easier late, which is really, because you think deeper in the season, you'd be more tired and back-to-backs would wear you down more. But he says, no, you're more in the flow, more in the rhythm, and they're not quite as much of an impediment as they are early on, which is interesting. You know, I wouldn't have seen it that way.
It's not interesting. It doesn't make sense. Let's be quite frank about it. Again, I still have issue, Gordon, and I'll beat this drum for the majority of the season. Frederik Andersen should be starting this game in Washington. That's what it comes down to. Who's the better team? Is it Washington or the Minnesota Wild? Even with a pedestrian performance by Michael Hutchinson against Minnesota, you're still probably winning that game, right?
Well, and again, you want to put guys in good situations, yes, where they can. Yeah, I'm
he
with
set
you.
Them up for
I'm
failure. Totally, that's totally the way you. I see this game going into this game. We talked about it last night. I said they're going to run into a firing squad, which they did in the second period because the Capitals came off an embarrassing loss to the Colorado Avalanche. I just don't think they set up Michael Hutchinson to be successful. I'm not defending Michael Hutchinson. I don't think he was good, but I don't think they put him in a favorable position.
Well, and consistently, and I would like to double check it, but mm-hmm. My understanding has always been is that Freddie starts the first game and not the second, which meant, if I remember correctly, he missed going back to Anaheim the first time. Remember
that?
Because
it's so foolish.
So it's, you know, it is the way that Mike Babcock does it. One thing I will say that I like that Mike Babcock did tonight, he talked about it. He said he overplayed a bunch of guys in the third period. Buddy, if I can call you buddy, Austin Matthews, 20 minutes, 50 seconds.
Ooh.
That's what he should be doing.
It's not game 7, Gord.
That's what this guy should be doing. I know.
Yeah.
And he couldn't get on at the end for unique circumstances because the Leafs had so much pressure. So Austin Matthews, who's the guy you wanted on in the last minute, didn't get on to the last 12 seconds. But I want to see more of that, like overplaying those guys in close games to get used to overplaying them in the playoffs when you're going to need them.
The other thing I liked as well is putting the youngster, he's not even young, but Ilya Mikheyev on the top line with Tavares and Mitch Marner, and it's taking nothing away from Trevor Moore. It wasn't working. They're going to continue to try and slot guys into that line until Zach Hyman comes back. And I thought for what he did in the third period, he offered a bit of a different look on that top line with Tavares and Marner. But again, to me, too much of the story right now, Gord, is who's playing with those two players more than it should be on those guys need to wake up, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know if wake up, I don't know what the right term
be better.
Is, but you know,
yes.
And but I'll tell you, and I really do like Zach Hyman, and people kid about him being teacher's pet and whatever, because people always think if you put three guys out there, they can each get 50 goals each and you get 150 goals from the line. And I think we all understand it doesn't work that way. But, you know, right now they're making Zach Hyman look like a Hart Trophy candidate.
He
like,
is,
you know,
in my
just
world.
About how much he's missed. And we know, but they should be able to. And Chris Johnston said, yeah, it's puzzling. It's a little puzzling because last year from the word go, these two guys, and it was part of the Tavares thing coming over about who he was going to play with and what a great fit it was. They're going to get it going. I mean, they will, but it is puzzling. And that's one reason. Like, you know, three games that matter the most are the big teams, St. Louis, Tampa Bay, and this one tonight. And you lost all three. And you can say you were close in St. Louis and you're close tonight, but still, you lost all three.
Too little, too late. John Tavares scoring with 2 minutes remaining or so in this game, and they could not get the tying goal. So a 4-3 win for the Capitals. It's Nick Alberga, Gord Stellick. Leafs Nation postgame continues. Let's get some postgame remarks right now. Certainly a lot of the conversation following this game in Washington revolving about this man, Michael Hutchinson, the backup goalie, the start in this one, and another loss for him.
Tail end of that first period and that one timer from Brandt, it looked like you got a piece of it. How close did you come to actually stopping that shot?
Yeah, I got a piece of it, but just not enough. They made a good play, and you know, I was a little bit late making the read. Carlson was kind of looking up ice. I thought he was going to hit the trailer coming in, so that was kind of my first read. And then when he threw the puck across, I was a little bit late getting there, but you know, I got a piece of it, but not enough. So it's unfortunate down to the game.
How did that second period feel from your end? Obviously, Washington got a real push there against you guys.
Yeah, they had a good push at the start, and I think that we recovered, well from it. We were able to, stop them, and I thought the second half of the second period we took it to them. So, it's one of those things when, other teams have offensive players and gifted offensive players, they will have a push at some point in the game, and, it's just unfortunate they were able to bury their chances on their push.
You felt like the goals against were pretty good chances. How did you just feel about your night?
You're never happy when you lose a game or, letting four goals. But, they made some good plays. And we had, an unfortunate hitting the puck over the glass penalty to give them a 5-on-3, which, when they have that firepower, you're in for a challenge. On all four goals, as a goalie, there's always something you'd like to do differently or something you'd like to have back. So that's just the nature of the position. I thought, for myself, after the fourth goal, I really battled and tried to give the team a chance. I knew I couldn't let up that fifth. And with the offensive power we have in our team, that if you can, stop it and you make some big saves and give the team a chance to keep it within two goals, we have a really good chance of coming back.
I guess you were mentally ready for Ovechkin in the one-timer. Two or three of them had good one-timers in.
Yeah, that was part of our pre-scout. They like to hit, not just Ovechkin, but everyone in for the one-timer and, try and curl up, find late guys on the trailer for a one-timer, kind of like their first goal. It was one of those things, I knew that they were going to try and feed guys for their one-timer, but as a goalie, it's difficult plays when you're battling through traffic and trying to make a read off a rush. It's unfortunate that I didn't get a bigger piece of that first one, and maybe the game goes a little different.
How do you feel going ahead after these last two starts you had?
I feel fine. They've been two good challenges and two good opportunities, and we've come close to getting 2 points in both games. So, we've battled hard and tail end of back-to-backs, and you can see our third period push. The guys really dug deep. So, when the guys are playing like that as a goalie, it gives you confidence that, the results aren't there right now, but they're going to be coming. So,
what kind of mentality do you have to have personally getting these starts behind a tired team against good opponents, that kind of thing?
As a goalie, it doesn't change. My job doesn't change. Whether we're playing a second game of a back-to-back or you're playing the first game or you're playing a game where your team's rested, as a goalie, your job is just to stop the puck. And, that's kind of has to be your mindset going into games. You can't get concerned about, if the guys are tired, if the guys slept well the night before. That's completely out of my control. And at the end of the day, it doesn't make any difference in myself making reads and putting myself in a position to stop a puck.
All right, there you have it. The Barrie, Ontario native himself, Michael Hutchinson. Gord, let me ask you this. I know mathematics has always been your forte. Three appearances, 3.98 goals against average, an .886 save percentage. Is that good enough in your world?
If you're Jonathan Quick, He's had a brutal start, huh?
19 on 90. I like that.
You know, I mean, I'll chill a bit after talking to Chris. And no, he just hasn't been good enough. He hasn't shown that he's good enough. And so if it's going to be one more start, so be it. What I like this guy. And Garrett Sparks dug a deeper hole because his comments.
He spoke too much. Yes.
Mike Babcock. Yeah. You know, he was the backup goaltender. He was struggling. And then I remember once somebody commented what Garrett Sparks had said. Babcock goes, "Sparky said that?" And then he kind of just said, "Well, he should worry about stopping the puck," kind of thing. Oh. And then later on, more came up that way. So, yeah, no, he just hasn't played well. And I'll throw another one guy in. Ian Scott is a guy they Leafs drafted in the fourth round. Just finished his career. He hasn't played anywhere pro this year. I haven't seen it. But with Prince Albert, had a phenomenal goals against average 1.83, save percentage of 9.932. So along with Justin Wall coming out of Boston College, you know, they've developed like what seem like some prospects down the road, which is something they've been lacking. They have not drafted well within about goaltenders as we throw some guys. I'm not talking now, but could be there for down the road to be Freddie's backup and maybe down the road to replace Freddie if that's what happens.
The problem is the future is now. This team is primed and ready to do something. You look at this back end, Tyson Berry, Jake Muzzin, both contract years, and that is my worry. Quite frankly, when it comes to this Maple Leafs team, they need to find a guy right now who can be a competent enough backup to give Frederik Andersen some rest. And the names you mentioned, yeah, I think you're totally right. And the younger guys, Kaskiosuo, who knows? But they have to find somebody at this point in time because I think you have to believe. I think a lot of people know this team is good, but that is one of the things plaguing this hockey club right now.
Okay, and don't out there think I'm crazy. If you think I am crazy already, that's fine. But don't think because of this comment in that Jordan Binnington. Okay, I'm not saying
that's fair. Okay,
but they were looking for a number one goaltender in St. Louis, and here's a guy that was mired in their system forever. And yesterday, he's the guy talking to the president of the United States after winning, after being at the NHL Awards, after hoisting the Stanley Cup, and all that. So I'm just saying it acts born of desperation sometimes. And if you're going to give Michael Hutchinson one more start, he can't have one more bad start. This was a bad game tonight. Everyone covers for bad goaltending, and it was a difference tonight. The other goaltender was no hell. Ilya Samsonov. If I'm the Capitals, this is a guy, the first-round pick, and they got to make a decision. Do they re-sign Braden Holtby after this season, or is Samsonov, I got to pronounce it right, ready?
Tomato, Gordo.
Yeah, well, I want to respect with names, and apparently, you know, we think of Sergei Samsonov and all those other guys. His has a little bit phonetic difference. So, anyway. That was it. It was just ordinary goaltending on the Washington Capitals side. And, boy, we kept thinking if the Leafs could get it through. I give the Caps credit. There were some missed shots. Nylander missed the net a lot.
Yeah.
And then there were some good block shots and things like that on the Washington side. The Leafs really made a good effort in the third period.
I did notice that late in the second, early in the third, the amount of block shots, 24 block shots by the Capitals. That is the buy-in, especially on a team that has Nick Jensen. This has been the MO of this Capitals team, even in the Brooks Orpik era. They block shots, the Niskanen era. They have Gudas on their team now, which you forget. Having Gudas and Tom Wilson on the same roster is just like, you know, the Department of Player Safety is watching on a nightly basis. But that's the one thing I did notice. When Toronto did have opportunities, the Capitals did step up defensively speaking. And sometimes, often enough, we don't give enough credit to the opponent. I thought the Capitals locked it down pretty good.
You know, and Brian Burke mentioned it, him and Elliot Friedman and Jeff Merrick, great job on Sportsnet with the game tonight. But about, hey, the Caps came out and hit. Tom Wilson, good hit on John Tavares in the first shift. So they had way more hits. And that's what they play. And that's always a question about the Leafs. And Don Cherry just said, I think it's going to be a problem in the playoffs. And other people will debate it. And the Caps' last game was against Colorado. And they tried to get something going. And Nichushkin actually got in a fight ill-advisedly with, but they tried to get something going physically, but it didn't matter because Colorado beat them on talent and skill. And for the Toronto Maple Leafs, that's what's going to have to happen. Like that 2-0 lead can't dissipate. That's where your talent, skill, your speed, all these other things make if the other team's physically stronger, less relevant and or irrelevant almost because of your skill. And that's what Colorado did in their big win against Washington the previous game. And that's what the Leafs, by virtue of substandard goaltending and not being able to hang on to the lead, you know, then that physical part creeps in a little bit. A
lot of racetrack, Steve Dangle, if you're listening, step off that ledge. There's a lot of racetrack to go in this NHL season. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. A peek at the out-of-town scoreboard as we wrap up here on Leafs Nation postgame. That Sabres power play just continues to hum. Victor Golovson, my dark horse pick for the Calder Trophy this season, now has 6 goals. We'll talk about that and much more the Sabres in Anaheim at the Honda Center tonight. So we'll touch base on that and get you set for a Saturday's game. The Maple Leafs hosting the Boston Bruins, in which you can start hearing at 6:30 Eastern time right here with Leaf Nation pregame. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick. Maple Leafs falling 4-3 to the Capitals at Capital One Arena, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You're listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Leafs Nation postgame continues here on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. It's Nick Alberga and Gord Stellick, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. Visit yours today. The Toronto Maple Leafs falling 4-3 to the Washington Capitals on the road in the back-to-back. They beat the Minnesota Wild on Tuesday. It was looking good about 19 minutes into this one in the first period. It was 2-0, two hard-fought goals. Kasperi Kapanen shorthanded Ilya Mikheyev. And everything looked great for the Maple Leafs. And then the Vrana goal happened late in the first period, and then three goals by the Capitals in a span of 118. I say 119. A lot of people out there saying 118. Math was never my forte, but I'm still going behind it. And that was the difference scored, quite frankly, in this hockey game, wasn't it?
Absolutely. And And, you know, last night there were seven games in the NHL, five of them, including the Maple Leafs, scored four goals against the Minnesota Wild in 11 minutes and 7 seconds. So it seems these flurries of three-plus goals happened and then continued in that game tonight. And so many things went awry, but this is where they needed the big save.
They did.
And, yeah. You know, and I'm not talking I mean, there were some that were stuck. This is the one thing they needed in that particular case. And there should, like, and also when in talking about Hutchinson's play, there should have been a fifth Washington goal. John Carlson, who's leading the NHL in scoring, got ripped off a goal. It scored. Hutchinson couldn't, whatever, had trouble smothering the puck. It was loose. It was a fortuitous whistle that went. And that would have been right in that span as well.
The fortunate thing for Maple Leafs Nation, you could be the Dallas Stars. We get to the out-of-town scoreboard, five other games in the NHL on this Wednesday. How about Dallas scored? They've dropped four in a row, 1-6-1 out of the gates against Columbus, who's now 3-3. Zach Werenski scores his second. Alex Wenberg, the guy was demoed last year in terms of production. He really, really struggled.
Yeah, healthy scratch in the playoffs.
Yeah. Sonny Milano scored a beauty tonight. I call him the mob boss. Joe Pavelski scores his first for the Dallas Stars, but too little too late. And the Stars, Ben Bishop, 3-on-35 in this game. The Corpedo, Jonas Korpisalo, the win. 3-2 for Columbus over Dallas. What's going on there?
Yeah, and to your point, Pavelski scored with 5 seconds left. So really it was like, you know, 3-1 in a lot of ways. And yeah. Talking to Daryl Ray in Dallas today, it's just, it's kind of like the Minnesota Wild, really. When nothing is really going right for the team, and when that is the case, you generally need a goaltender to steal a game, and they hadn't got that, and or like a hat trick from somebody. You know, quite often it comes down to that. So really, so now they're getting in that Western Conference version of the New Jersey Devils.
Yeah.
And, you know, how about the New Jersey Devils are moving assistant general manager Tom Fitzgerald behind the bench, okay, along with head coach John Hines tomorrow when they take on the New York Rangers. So, you know, I know, and we talked with Chris Johnson about you can't panic too early, but it's not a panic thing. You can't, these points, man, you lose these points in October, and then in April you're going, what the hell? We were so close, but you banked nothing in October, and you're always coming from behind. You're always fighting that uphill battle. Just ask the Florida Panthers the last 2 years.
I'm going to say this right now. There's no way in hell, in my opinion, that John Hines is the one behind Fitzgerald coming up to the bench. Maybe I'm wrong, but that was the report today, is that John Hines, it was his request that he had Tom Fitzgerald help him out on the bench.
Yeah, right.
Come on.
They did it. Bob Murray went behind the bench in Anaheim to take a look about things.
It's like the precursor to, you know, doom is coming. That's how I felt.
Yeah, I know. But when John Hines goes home, he just looks at the new contract extension he signed in the summer, make sure he's got millions of copies of that. Yeah, I got a lot of respect for Tom Fitzgerald. I think it's not a bad idea that way. I think it's also a perception to the players that, you know, they're serious about it. Tom's a good guy, good buffer, you know, well-respected guy that way. But, you know, on the other side, when we go about the Toronto Maple Leafs and having not won against a big team, Washington, St. Louis, Tampa Bay, they've lost all three of those opponents in their first eight games. Look at the Pittsburgh Penguins. All those injuries, and they beat the red-hot Colorado Avalanche in overtime. So Colorado gets an OT point. Tanev scores a shorthanded goal. Goal and overtime goal. But Sidney Crosby, right? Where the big guns, well, Austin Matthews has been doing it, but a lack of the big gun, other big guns for the Maple Leafs on a consistent basis. Like, he just gets an all-world goal to set the table in the first period. And so here they are, Nathan MacKinnon, Sidney Crosby. They only play each other twice. And that's the point I mean. I mean, the Pittsburgh Penguins are not out of it. If we think the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to win the Stanley Cup, you can't dismiss all these teams. And Pittsburgh showing they're still a real viable team.
If there were a year again that Crosby's going to win another Hart Trophy, it's happening this year. He has been unbelievable since Evgeny Malkin went down. Brandon Tanev, you mentioned the shorthanded OT winner. San Jose is up 1-0 midway through the first on the red hot. Carolina Hurricanes, Evander Kane, his second of the year. Meantime, Anaheim and Buffalo, Victor Olofsson, another power play goal for the Sabres. That continues. Olofsson's having an unbelievable start. It's 2-1 for Buffalo after 20. And the other game we're watching right now as well on Sportsnet 360, Edmonton 2-1 on the visiting Philadelphia Flyers. One of the best names in hockey, Ethan Bear, has his first of the year, made it a 2-1 game.
A little more depth scoring, because it really has been the McDavid Draisaitl show so much. So that's why when you talk about if he's going to win the Sidney Crosby, I mean,
he's incredible.
Connor McDavid wins the Hart Trophy when his team's terrible.
Yeah.
So imagine if his team's half decent. I mean, he's going to probably win that for the next 10 years.
That'll be a good battle. Honestly, Will, I can't wait to see what unfolds in terms of the Hart conversation.
Hey, and Austin Matthews is getting in that conversation. I mean, he's really getting in that conversation legitimately. Not just the blue, the starry-eyed Leaf Nation, rose-colored glasses point of view.
All right, Gord, we'll see you on Saturday, Leafs and Bruins.
6:30, we'll have Leafs Nation pregame. So we'll have a lot to talk about. We're going to look forward to it because, you know, that 7-game series. And also, hey, let's make that building rock if you're the Toronto Maple Leafs. When you play on the ice and it's the Boston Bruins, come on, you got
to
bring it.
Listen to Gord or else. That's Gord Stellick. Many thanks to Vic Pilati and Shoa Lee. And the Maple Leafs, a tough, tough night in Washington, falling 4-3 the final at Capital One Arena. I'm Nick Alberga, brought to you by your GTA Acura retailers. You've been listening to Leafs Nation postgame on Sportsnet 590 The Fan. We'll talk once again on Saturday night. Take care.